But today we wanted to do a new topic and give them self-contained today. And I have them on the front of the story. I'll give them out after we have our short shoot. You know, the first thing we always go through when you talk about halacha, you have to know whether the din is a deraisa din or a derabanan. That's the first thing. Someone gives you a topic in halacha, you have to know, is it deraisa or is it derabanan? Why? Why is that so important? Because in the case of a suffix and a doubt, if it's deraisa, I must be machmir. If it's derabanan, I must be maker. I can be maker. If I want, I can be machmir. So take, for example, after you, God willing, you have a good Seder today at 12. You have Seder till 12, and then you break. Take your break for 1:15. Please be on Zman 1:15. You begin Shir, God willing, on time and end on time, 2:30 minutes. You get a hearty lunch. You eat such a good lunch, but you don't remember what you benched. It says, Vachalta, Savata, Virachta. And if you leave the bench, if you're fully satiated, well, you had a hearty lunch. Why you, the food is delicious and how you cheat it. Might be expensive, but the mice, the food is delicious. So you eat a hearty lunch, and you don't remember what you benched. So we say something to your rice and the chumra, because the chief of the bench is the Savata and the Rakhta. You have a chief of the bench. If you're fully satiated. And if you're fully satiated, you have a chief of the bench. So that gets a little sticky, because we know that thing of bracha in vain is in the city rice according to the Rambam. That's a Shem al-Kecha Tisa. Can't take God's name in vain. Rambam writes in this writes to say, but without that, let's assume that that's a good example of something to so, the first thing you're asked, you must know, when you're given a topic and a look, is this the right to the Rabbanan? Well, why? Because in the case of the Savik Binyamin, if it's the right, you must be Machmer, if it's the Rabbanan, it must be your maker. Okay? So what I wanted to begin the discussion today, and we won't be able to finish it, maybe we'll finish it on Sunday, because tomorrow will be the Parsha, is I wanted to discuss with you today the concept that we find at a deraisa level between something that's refurish in a pasuk, or something that is deraisa, and now something that's rabbanan. So what we're developing today is three levels that I want you to know. In other words, within the deraisa, you can have something that's explicit in Chumash, something that is deraisa, not explicit in Chumash, and something that is what? That is derabanan. You follow what I'm saying? Now you might ask me then, what's the question you might ask me? Go ahead, Usher. No, there are three levels. The top two are deraisa, the third is derabanan. But what the question I think you might ask is the following. Is that what? Excellent, Rafi. What is an afkamina between your eyes? And number two, how could something actually be called deraisa if it's not what? If it's not what, Gabriel? It's not mafurish and apostle. So what's the answer to that? What would you say? Okay. So Jonathan brings up that there's a concept called a swara, which the Gemara has in a few places in Shas, where in Baba Kama and the Vavim Beis, the famous klal of Motzim and Chazar al-Rai, you say, Rabbi, you owe me money. I don't owe you any money. Prove to me you owe me money. Gemara says if someone's hurt, you go to the doctor. If you have a tainet that I really owe you the money, then prove it to me. Right? So, the Gemara says that's a svara. What's another example of Shas in a svara? You ever heard of the topic called Pes Shas or Pes Yitter? Let's say a woman says she's in need to her husband, and a second later she says she's just joking. Do we believe her? Yes. Because the mouth that asered is the mouth that what? The matter. So, Gemara says in the Maskar it's a svara. So, Jonathan's saying, excellent, that that's a svara, that's a legitimate way to learn out some of the derisa. Give me another example. I may actually mention to you four different other ways that we can learn out of derisa. Actually, three other. One is a pasuk in Chumash, which is the Chumash. Two is a svara. Give me three other ways. Go ahead. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What is halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Anyone ever heard of that? What is Occam's Razor? But Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu many dinim that were not in Furush and Apostle. We have a tradition in the Sora that was done. What's the most famous example of Alakha Moshe Mishinai that you guys know of? Orla and Cliff Lars. You guys have a fruit tree in your backyard? If you plant it, the first 3 years of the fruit tree, you can't eat the fruit. Doesn't say in the Chumash Orla and Cliff Lars, it says there it's Yisrael. Why can't I eat Orla and Cliff Lars? You know what the din is? So Alakha Moshe Mishinai. What's the fourth way? We say it every morning. We said it this morning, Rabbi Shmuel Leiman. Kavachoma, Jerushava, Rabbi, get up early, try to get the davening on time. Get there a few minutes earlier if you can. You say the Kavachoma, you say Kavachoma's not smart. There's a Binyanav, you know what a Binyanav is, they did. You expand it to call it Torah Kula. Jerushava is the same word in two different places. That's another way. What's the last way to learn how to do your Isa? Takdim. What is a takdim? Historical precedent. Places says there's an entrance on the Chesed Days. Many of the dinim that we learned by Geiris are the way the Jewish people converted in Har Sinai. When we got the Torah, the verse says increases on Baal Pesim and Aleph, that we received the Torah in Har Sinai, we converted. So, you know, the bottom line is we all come from converts, because we all became the Amanit. So if I ask you basically to summarize this, I want you to get this down, that there are five ways to learn how to do the Raisa. Abzeris are constant explicit, two Asmara, three Alephamos Messiah, four Shemitos, and what's five? Atakim. So we just said there are three levels of what a certain status is in Halakha. It can be the Raisa Mefurish Bikra, it can be the Raisa not Mefurish Bikra, and it can be the Rabbana. Yes? Okay, those are the three levels. So I want to begin with an example of this, of something that, like Rafi asked, will be a nafkamina between something that is the Arisa of the first withdrawal and something that is what? The Arisa, but not explicit in the finish. Let's start like this. There's a famous Taz. You know who the Taz was? The Taz is on the side of the page of the Shemorah, because a great goal and a great goal at Greenwich. He has a parish in Orahayim, in Yordea, on the side of the page of Ibn Ezer, and also in Pesach Mishpat's on the side of the page as well. He has a parish in Al-Arba Kalkut Shemorah. He's one of the great goals in the 1600s. So he has a famous plow that in many yeshivas all over the world, they know it as the Taz Hayadua, the known Taz. The Taz Hayadua. When he develops the following theory, he claims like this. He claims that any time the Torah matters something explicitly, the Chachamim could not asher it. You got this, Taz? Anytime the Chumash writes something explicitly is permissible, the Chachamim cannot ask it. This is known as the Taz Hayadua. And he writes the following. Listen to this. Can you blow a shofar on Shavuos or Sukkos or Pesach for that matter? Yes or no? No? Why not? Okay. It's true it's Muksa. But give me another reason why you can't blow it. Let's say Muksa is only asked to move. Let's say I could blow it without moving it. Some guy would put it out of the stand where I could put my mouth and I wouldn't move it. Why can I not blow a shofar on Shavuos? Go ahead. Right, but why can't I do it if it's not Rosh Hashanah? You follow me? Are you? Go ahead. Why can you not blow a shofar on Shavuos? What I'm asking you, Yosef, what's the issur? What'd you say?
Sound.
Making a sound. That's kind of what you meant, Yosef. Because if you make a sound, what am I afraid you're going to do? Make a guitar, make an instrument, which is a malacha d'oraisa of what? Of money. Of money. Yes? Therefore, you cannot blow a shofar when? I'm Shavuos, I'm Pesach.
Yes? And Sukkot. Let me ask you. Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos, do we blow the shofar? Yes or no?
No.
No, we don't. Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, do we blow the shofar? No, why not? What did Rabbi say? Rabbi in the Gemara says in a few places. A gezeira that what? What does the gezeira, Rabbi says? You might come to Kiryat Rosh Hashanah and go to a bakri to teach how to blow the shofar. That's called gezeira de Rabbi. So the Chachamim have the power invested in them, he is called the Chachamim, Lachor Dover in the third of Sheva Al-Taseh, to tell me don't blow the shofar. Chachamim have the power invested in the Mitzvah of Al-Taseh to tell me don't do the Mitzvah of Rosh. Not Kumbeseh, but Sheva Al-Taseh, yes. You got that? Let me ask you a question though. How are we able to blow the shofar at all, even on Rosh Hashanah, a regular day of the week? I can hear you. Because what? Oh, well, why shouldn't we not be able to? Isn't Rosh Hashanah Yom Tov, Gabriel? Isn't Rosh Hashanah Yom Tov? Aren't you making sound? I can't hear you. More than that, it's what? It's Mefurish in the Torah. It's Mefurish in the Torah. The Chachamim cannot apply Zerah to Rabbah when something is Mefurish in the Torah. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to think about this. You got this, Azriel? If it's Mefurish in the Torah that I have to do something that's permissible, Chachamim can't answer that. Now what should you ask me? So how did they make the Gzeir if Rosh Hashanah comes out on what? On Shabbos. Because when the Torah said blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah, what was it referring to? Gabriel, what was it referring to? Can't hear you.
When it's not
Shabbos, when it's any day of the week. So they're not going against something explicit in the Chumash. The Torah never spoke about what? The Torah never spoke about Rosh Hashanah coming out on Shabbos. The Torah spoke about Rosh Hashanah coming out during the week. So they're not going against their plow. So the Taz develops this theory. You must get this Taz. That the Chumash never would answer something which is before in the Torah that it is permissible. Not only permissible, that you have to do as a mitzvah. The following, this is the Taz Ayadua. It really might come, Tosis might say it in a few places. Now, is this a Din D'Rabbanan or Din D'Oraisa? The Taz seems to say that's a Din D'Oraisa. The Chumash do not have the power to do that. It could be that Tosis might say it's only D'Rabbanan. D'Rabbanan, the Chumash can't do that. So the question whether how you formulate the Taz Ayadua. Is it a rabbinic din or is it a D'Oraisa din? You follow what I'm saying? Is it a rabbinic din? Is it a rice? Then that's a question. Yes, Jonathan, go ahead.
You have the shofar on your finger on Shabbos.
Can't do that. Shabbat Shabbatel.
But I'm saying we blow it at the end of Nilo.
Yeah, we blow it. That's only a minute. It's only a minute. We blow it at the end of Nilo. It's already after Shkia. That's why it's okay. It's a good kasha, but that's why it's okay.
It's already after Shkia. What if the Shabbat could be harvested in place of the near carrying the shofar?
After Shkia now, because we're Makkel D'Oraisa, but for my sixth story, the Rabbanan, it's after Shkia, it's after Tzeis. Okay, and this is the finish of the Taz I want you to know, very important. And he actually makes the following comment. Are you familiar with this passage from some Sanhedrin Ben Bava Ben Alam? The Yomim that says, Makkel Ba'on Shim Shalom and Adin? You ever heard of that? You ever heard of Allah from Makkel Ba'on Shim Shalom and Adin? What does that mean? Do we have the death penalty nowadays in Judaism? Yes or no? What are the three qualifications you need for death penalty in Allah? Number one, you need the Kohanim to be doing the Avodah and the Rosh Hamikdash. We don't have that. Number two, you need the Sanhedrin Agam to be sitting where? Delicious Sagazis. And what's number three? You need Shmiza. Promotion of Enoah Adam. We have none of the three. You need three things again. The Kohanim doing the Avodah is a Mikdash. You need the Sanhedrin Agam to delicious Sagazis. And number three, you need what? The Chumash to have Shmiza for promotion of Enoah. We don't have nothing. My Shmiza I have is not for promotion of Enoah. I wish it was.
You follow me?
So we don't have that. But the Gemara says, about 200 CE, there was a story where the observance of Shabbat was getting out of hand. There was a man who rode his horse on Shabbos. What is the issue of riding a horse on Shabbos? If the Rabban, he might break a branch to hit the animal and run faster. You know what they did to this guy? They stoned him. They executed, they killed him. Based on what principle? Mocking the Onshin Shalom and Adin. If the Chachamim feel, and they were not over the Torah, lo lavo al din, why weren't they over the Torah? Why do you think they weren't over the Torah? Because the Torah never talked about what happens if a guy rides a horse on Shabbos. So the Chachamim are not going against anything. But if it's exclusive in the Chumash Yosef, can they go against it? No. But this is not exclusive in the Chumash. Yes, Usher. But the Torah never explicitly said, right, you're right. Since the Torah never talked about a guy riding a horse on Shabbos, what do? Chachamim can do what they want. You know what the next story is? Where it says a guy was promiscuous with his wife. And he was with her in public under a tree. They flogged the guy. They didn't kill him, but they flogged him. This is the prince of Makaros and Shalom and him. Shalom Lavar al Divatar. So the Tat says, Shalom Lavar al Divatar. Of course I know the Chum can't be calling it Divatar. It's a double question. No, what it means to say is that if it would have been explicit in the Chumash, the Chum couldn't have touched it. If it was explicit in the Chumash, it was with them, the Chum couldn't have touched it. But it's not explicit in the Chumash, the Chum can say what they want. Follow me? This is the first example that I wanted to give you of this Kaze Yadua, which is very, very important. Okay? This is Kaze Yadua. Let's give one other example, and then we got to break and start saying right away. Okay? But today we're going to do a Sugya because we're continuing general. On Monday we'll continue the Hashem on Dalin and Benjamin. We got up on the bottom. But today I want to do a Sugya on your test. Please follow the Marmathamus. It's a continued sugya, fascinating sugya, called Tzad Bagabit Tzad, when they write up again. Just do one more nachmina, and then we'll break. We're all familiar with the principle of rebuking a friend, yes? What is that principle called, the mitzvah? Kochiach, Kochiach, that's Hamishapha. But the Gemara has in the second Beya, and that's Lamed, Amar Alev. You ever heard of a Mavui? You know what a Mavui is. You know the Shai's Erev is? Like, you know, all the Atzeres pour out to this alleyway? It's not an alleyway, it's like a courtyard that pours into such a robin. Each house has a concert, and then they pour into a Mavui. Are you allowed to carry in a Mavui? Yes. Are you allowed to sit right next to the such a robin with a cup of water? No. What might you end up doing? Bringing the water into a shishrab and carrying it. Okay? Therefore, you're not allowed to do that. Now, the Gemara says it doesn't have to be men, it could be women. The Gemara says that women, or just women were sitting there and they made a chair. What happens if they're not going to listen to you? You see them doing that, you tell them, don't do it. And they're not going to listen. So what principle does the Gemara develop? I want you to get this. Mutuk shiyishogigim v'al yumezidim. What does that mean? Better they be shogging than mezid. Don't say a word to them. Because they're not going to listen. And if you tell them, now they're no longer, they didn't know it's usher. Now they're going to be mezid. You follow me? Amazing principle, the Gemara says. And the Gemara says, I'll give you an example, the Gemara says, there's a mitzvah to usher in Yom Kippur early and end it late. What's that called? Tosefes Yom HaKippur. The Gemara says, again, women, it doesn't have to be women, they eat meat to the last second before Yom Kippur. could have been then. Why don't we tell them to stop a few minutes? Why don't we tell them to stop a few minutes? They're not going to listen. Excellent. And this is quoted in the Sefer Aruch by the Rosh to the Rav Lechaber, that we hold this principle. Okay? But there's an exception, says the Baal Nitzan. And what is that exception? Something that is mefurish in the Torah. Please get it. That's the second example. The Baal Ifer in the Ramah is Simen Tafrei Shir Aleph. That's what's Yom HaKippurim. If something is explicit and foolish, you got to tell the guy. I'll give you a good example. Shatnas. The guy's wearing shatnas. Doesn't know that it's awesome. Doesn't make a difference. You got to tell him. That's the difference between a derisive din, like the Seventh Yom HaKippurim is done from a drasha. It's not explicit and foolish. It only says Betz HaMiyom HaZeh, Jonathan. You have to fast Betz HaYom HaZeh. The mitzvah of the rice is ushering in early. Follow me? That's a drasha. A drasha is another thing. You really should maybe say six ways. Drashas and shas are really what the rice are not explicit. Follow me? You know what a drasha is? A drasha. It's not explicit in the Polish. It's not in the computer. You learn it on a drasha. You don't have to tell the guy. Tell her. But shas, you got to tell. That's the second nafkamina between something that's the derisive and the fruit of the Torah and something that's only derisive. You guys got me? Now, what's the svara for that? Give me a svara why you think you got to tell a guy. I'm going to give you two svaras. Give me a svara. Mayor, what do you say? Why do you have to tell a guy explicitly? If it's explicit, what do you think? You guys tell me. Give me a svara. Give me a smart. Why do you think you gotta tell the guys to prove it? Anyone have a suggestion? The punishment, no, you won't be kind first. For a possess. What do you think the reason is? But why, if it's mature, do I have to tell the guy? What's the difference? Why? Tell me why. So therefore we make the assumption that what?
The guy right
now. Exactly. That's a Rafi. Excellent. Because the version of us is we don't assume the show game. Now that's hard nowadays. A lot of reform unit have never heard of shotguns. But excellent. That's what the Rosh boss says. Dark emotions look like you. Excellent. I'll give you another smart of the Rosh said. Anytime you do an Aveira, there's a level of rebellion. Level of rebellion against Hashem. And when the level of rebellion is the highest on the Richter scale, you know what a Richter scale is, for an earthquake, then you've got to say something to protest, for Kavod Shamayim, for Kavod Hashem, whether he listens to you or not. When something's in the first Torah, that level of rebellion is the highest. You've got to stand up and say something. You got me? Where if it's derisive, it's bad, don't get me wrong, but the level of rebellion is not as bad. That was the rough shot. Follow me? But we've mentioned two examples, the Taza Yadua and the Baal Ifer of Mefurish Makra, where you must be Mofia, where there's a difference between derisive and Mefurish Makra and stop and regular derisive. Okay? Alright. Let's stop here. You were taping it? Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the Mar of Kindness. Please ask your passage. We'll start on Dr. Kesh. Let me be explicit here. Okay?